For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Speak through me, flow through me. Let your spirit just take over and be strong in this room. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. St. John chapter 11, let's start with verse 1 and 2. Now, a certain man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, the first thing I want you to see is Lazarus was a very good friend of Jesus when he was on the earth. And Lazarus was sick unto death. This was a very serious sickness. And so the first thing I want you to see is that bad things do happen to good people. Mary, she had some real spiritual credentials. This lady made it into the book. She was one of the popular characters in the New Testament. And she was one who actually touched the Son of God, ministered to the Son of God while he was going through a tough time. I mean, those are pretty high credentials. And yet, her brother was sick unto death. An acquaintance of mine, John Corson, up in Oregon, he tells this story, and I even watched the funeral service. His teenage daughter, I think Jesse was about, I'm not for sure her age, I want to think around 18. He said, one morning we had early communion, Jesse came in, and Jesse went down and did the prayer time and took the communion and then walked out and winked at me, and he said, I had no idea it'd be the last time I would see Jesse. She was in a car wreck right after that. And John Corson did her funeral, the dad. Brothers and sisters all came up, sang songs and read poems. And John said, you know, he said, I never knew that day would be the last day I would see Jesse. But you know, as a dad, he said, I've cried every tear I can cry. I said, now I'm here to minister to you. He said, as a dad, I always waited the day that Jesse would get married, and I found her ring at the accident, and today she's being married to the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And he said, that's the best groom she could ever have. And he went through the sermon. So bad things can happen to good people. None of us are exempt. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We can only live today. Love our loved ones today. Love your grandkids and your kids that are with you and your parents and everybody else, because we never know, the Bible says, about tomorrow. We don't like to think about death, but all of us have a terminal disease called mortality. And the last I checked, the current death rate is 100%. We're all gonna die. Worldwide, 3 people die per second. Car wrecks. Cancer, starvation. That's what's happening right now worldwide. So people are going to be with Jesus just constantly. Verse number 3. So the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now Lazarus is sick unto death. And what do the sisters do? They send for Jesus. They go for the Lord. They called upon the Lord. Now, for the life of me, I do not know how anyone can go through what we went through last Sunday if they don't have the Lord in their life. I just don't know. How do they do it? They don't have the hope of heaven. They don't have the hope of eternal life. They don't know and know that they know that they know that they know they're going to see their loved ones again. We don't bury our loved ones. We plant them because they're going to come back. When I do a garden, I don't go out and bury the seeds. I plant the seeds. And if you go to Jerusalem, they're all facing the right direction, waiting for the Lord's return. If anything, this tragedy should motivate us to start telling all of our friends about the Lord. Because Apostle Paul said, when we have loved ones die, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. We got this blessed hope. We used to sing that song in the Pentecostal church. That'll be a glad reunion day. And believe me, it will. Listen to these verses, Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the hilariously good news, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And that word salvation means deliverance, first to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Look at Romans 10:14. How then will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? The hilariously good news is God will talk to us. He'll answer our prayers. He'll be with us through whatever we go through. I told the Schweitzer family the other day about the interesting way the Jewish people mourn. They have something called the Shiva. And between the death and the burial, no one really talks to the mourning family. They let them have time alone. And then from the burial for the next 7 days, the family members that can take a leave of absence from their job or even whatever, take a vacation, they will move in with the mourning family for a week, for 7 days. And there's rules to this whole thing. The visitors who move in cannot start a conversation with the mourners unless the mourners start the conversation. They're there to do what? Check their phone messages. They're there to bring food in and serve food, to tell them, hey, by the way, I fed the dog. I took care of the chores. I got the garbage out. You don't have to worry about it. Every once in a while, I'll just go over and massage your shoulders, but don't talk. I told the people on the television station, an acquaintance of mine, a pastor of a large church years ago, in the evening service, a young teenage girl was leaving. She went across the road and got hit by a car. The pastor, being a big church, did not really know her well or her family. He rushed to the hospital and found her dad doing this. He was just, they didn't know if he was going to live or die. And he said, what I did is I just got in behind him and walked with him. Didn't say a word. Didn't say a word for an hour. Didn't say a word. When he got a drink, I got a drink. And I just kept walking. Didn't say a word. Finally, the doctor came out and said, she's going to make it. And he turned around and hugged me and said, you've been Jesus to me. And he didn't say a word. In Job chapter 2, verse 12 through 13, Job has lost all of his kids. He's lost several kids. He's lost his farm. He's lost his business. He's lost everything. And so his friends come to visit him. And so when they lifted up their eyes at a distance and did not recognize him, they raised their voices and wept. And each of them tore his robe and they threw dust over their heads toward the sky. Then they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights with no one speaking a word to him. For they saw that his pain was very great. Don't you just wish they would have kept their mouths shut for the next few chapters? Because when they start talking, he says, man, you are poor mourners. You guys are sick. So the sisters, their brother is sickened to death. They call for Jesus, and let's see what Jesus does when he gets there. Verse number 4. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that God be glorified by it. So what they do is he speaks to them a rhema. They call upon the Lord, say, Lord, come and come into our pain, come into our situation. And he speaks to them. And this is exactly what God does. With his kids, when he shows up, he starts speaking. Remember the dream that Daryl and Gina Farley had that I told you about last week? If that doesn't prove heaven, nothing does. He starts speaking through the words of friends. He starts speaking through the pastor's sermons. He starts speaking at church through the worship. Psalms 34, 17, 18. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. How does he show up? Various ways. You know, people ask the question over and over again, where was God at in this Vegas tragedy? Can I tell you where God was at? First of all, God stole a truck. You heard the story? An ex-Marine stole a truck and started putting people in there that were wounded and hurting. He made three or four trips to the hospital. God stole a truck. You know what else God did? People performed CPR on total strangers. God was performing CPR. God was with the first responders. That was Him putting them into action. God was the one that caused people to risk their lives for total strangers as bullets buzzed by. That was God. That's where He was at. The Bakersfield, Californian article. Melanie Wright from Bakersfield said if there was one thing that Wright was thankful for that night was the overwhelming sense of human kindness she witnessed in the crowd at every turn. Nobody was worried about running for their own lives. People were stopping to help others. They were being shot, Wright said. She saw men leaping atop women to provide the cover as shots began ringing out. People performing CPR on strangers, two men carrying a girl who was shot in the leg, others hauling off the injured on makeshift stretchers fashioned from concert barricades, cab drivers loading up their vehicle with victims and survivors to usher them to safety and wouldn't take a dime. That's the only thing that'll help me sleep. I saw people can still be good, Wright said. It's the one thing that's going to help me heal. People can be good. Where was God? He was there. You're going to hear more in a second. He was there. See, gang, the Lord has never, ever promised in the Word that we would not go through tough times. But He did, He said the Word, I promise I'll be with you through those tough times. He promised that. Look at John 16:33. It says, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome it. And look at 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, Jesus lost John the Baptist. He lost people. As you share the sufferings of Christ, keep rejoicing so that also at the revelation of His glory, you will rejoice with exultation. Now, I want to remind you that God was there and you didn't see three quarters of the things He did. You did not see three quarters of the things that He did. He was, first of all, there greeting every one of His kids who passed away. He was there waiting for them. I know so because the Bible says so. I had a dream that I shared with Chrissy and Scott yesterday. And I'm not just making this stuff up. I don't embellish any of this. But this dream was decades ago, and I felt like it was yesterday. One of the most powerful dreams, or the most powerful I've ever had in my life. I'm over in a foreign field somewhere serving with about 11 or 12 people. Someone shouted, the rebels are coming, the rebels are coming. And I pushed everybody up an attic and I got everybody in there and there was no room for me, so I slid it. And I went to find covering and they caught me. And they lined, I can tell you what this hotel room looked like, it was so powerful. And they lined me up and they took rifles and they shot me. And the minute they shot me, I was hovering over my body. And it was the most exhilarating feeling I've ever felt in my entire life. And the Lord spoke to me four times. This is what it's like to die in me. This is what it's like to die in me. This is what it's like to die in me. And it affected me so deeply that if you put a gun to my face today, I would say, make my day. I've lived 67 years, 66. Make my day. Because I know where I'm going. I know what will happen. Angels were at work. You think angels weren't there? No, you didn't see them, but they were there. They were doing their thing. Look at Hebrews 1:14. Angels, are they not all ministering spirits? And they're sent out. Man, what would have been a better time to send them out than in Vegas? They are sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. The angels were there. Article, Time magazine, on the first anniversary date of 9/11, about 31-year-old Janelle Guzman, the last person caught in the debris to be found alive. Janelle said she was descending the 64th floor of the North Tower when the planes hit. Immediately, she was buried in rubble. Her right leg was pinned under heavy concrete. Her head was mashed against concrete, and she had a little air pocket above her. And for 27 hours, she laid there, seriously injured. Janelle said, I had just started attending church and just started getting my life together. And so I knew I would pray, lose consciousness, pray, lose consciousness, pray, lose consciousness. And after praying and losing consciousness so many times, finally after noon, she said, I heard a voice. I'm here. I'm right here. She stuck her hand out of the concrete and said, he grabbed my hand. I don't know how he knew her name, but he said, Janelle, I've got you. You're going to be okay. And I will not let go of your hand until they get you out. She said, as soon as he grabbed my hand, I had calmness over my whole entire body like I've never felt before. And I asked him his name, and he said, Paul. And I marked down in my mind that I would never, ever forget that name, Paul, ever, because I was going to thank Paul when I got out of there. And so I really memorized his name. She said, soon I heard rescuers removing the concrete and the steel that was over me. They grabbed me by the shoulders and lifted me out. And when they grabbed me by the shoulders, Paul let go of my hand. She said, on November 7th, after spending weeks in the hospital and four different surgeries, I kept my word. I went looking for Paul. I asked the reporters. I asked the rescue people. And finally, the main rescue guy came to me and he said, I don't know how to tell you this. He had a puzzled look on his face. He said, there was no Paul there. He said, we have nobody in our team named Paul. And it just didn't happen. And said, secondly, when we got there, we worked on you for a while and there was no one holding your hand. She said it was an angel. She said, Paul had plenty of time to come forward after all this press to take credit, and he never did because there was no Paul. You say, do you think that's true? I absolutely believe with all my heart it's true. Why? Because first, the Word of God, and secondly, my own stories. I told Chrissy yesterday, I know people think I might embellish these stories, but I don't embellish them one bit. I know better. But one morning, Josh left to go snowboarding up at Wrightwood. And I use this illustration in many different ways, but one way was my flippant prayer. I didn't pray real sincerely, but as he left, as I usually do, I flipped over and I said, God, send an angel with him and have that angel not leave him. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's what I pray often. And so it wasn't long into that afternoon that we got a call and said, Josh has been seriously hurt and they're taking him by ambulance soon to Riverside or San Bernardino 1, and you can meet him there. We got rest, we got dressed, and we took off. And after we got him, brought him home, there was a young lady named Beth Garcia, and Beth is just, oh my gosh. Beth is, man, she is a saint. She really, really, really knows God. And Beth said, Pastor Ron, can I see you? Can I see you? I have something to tell you. And can somebody help her right there? Are you okay? Are you okay? Okay, thank you. Looking for tissue? Okay, thank you. And so Beth called me. She was one of the people with Josh and his party who was snowboarding and skiing. She says, Pastor Ron, I have something to tell you. And said, can I come over tonight? She said, Pastor Ron, there was an angel in the room with Joshua. I said, what'd you say, Beth? There was an angel in the room with him. I said, Beth, come on, tell me more about this. She said, Ron, when Josh was first hurt, we all went into the room to see him, and there was one lady there at the ski resort. They were calling for an ambulance, and she said, everybody get out of the room, everybody get out of the room. She said, everybody except one young man. And that young man stayed in there right by Josh. And she said, I thought, why didn't they send the young man out too? Why does he get to stay in there? And so I went out later, you called, and I wanted to get directions. I went back in, and that young man's still sitting there watching Josh. And I thought, he's still in here. And there was a lady nurse working in there, and said she acted like she didn't even see the young man. And said, all of a sudden, Josh goes, I'm hurting, my hip. And so that young man went over and gently raised Josh's hip up and held him. And I went out again, and I thought, this is crazy. She said, when they took Josh out for the ambulance, this young man followed him out, staring at him. And I'm telling you, Ron, when they put him in the ambulance, he disappeared. I was going to talk to him. He was gone. She said, I went home, and I thought, that was an angel. And so she went to God and did what I did. She said, God, you got to give me proof it's an angel. If it's an angel, I got to know, because I'm going to go tell Pastor Ron. But you got to give me a supernatural verse. And she did something that I tell none of you to do. But she flipped open her Bible, and it says, his angels will be charged concerning you. So she came over and said, Ron, he was there the whole time. So when Josh got home, I said, Josh, were you coherent? He said, Dad, I was awake the whole time in the room. I said, who is a young man with you? He said, Dad, there was no young man. I said, Josh. He said, Dad, I was awake the whole time. There was only one lady in that room, and that's all that was in there. It was an angel. And I've got other stories. The point being, God did show up. And he showed up in ways that we don't even know. We did not see him. God really works behind the scenes. He's very discreet sometimes, and we don't see him, but he did show up. In our text, they called upon Jesus, and he came. Look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Why is that parenthetical verse thrown in there? I mean, well, why do you throw that in there? Because God is love. Again, do you understand? It was Max Lucado that said, if God has a refrigerator, your picture's on it. He sends you flowers every day in your garden. God is absolutely crazy over each one of us. He is love. He can't help himself. Again, Psalms 34, 18. That God is near the brokenhearted. And he saves all those who are crushed in spirit. I don't know about you, but when my kids are doing good, hey, I'm going to the game, Dad, okay, whatever. Hey, Dad, I'm going to do my homework, whatever. But when they're hurt, I'm going, hey, you okay? What's going on? That's what I do. Do you understand that God told us to base this church on Isaiah 58? He supernaturally told me, I want your church based on Isaiah 58. What's Isaiah 58? Basically, it's a rebuke against God's people saying, you like to play church, you do your little banquets, and you do your little, you know, your little potluck dinners, you do all this stuff. But he said, what I want you to do is go out and find every hurting person you can find and help them, give them some food, help these kids that have no dad. Go out and do that. When you do, I'll be right here. I will help you. I will heal you. I will walk through everything with you. I will be the God you always wanted to have. When you do that. And then when Jesus was here, what did he do? He went around looking for hurting people to help him. That's all he did. Why is the church missing it? We argue over theology. We argue over doctrine. Love, unconditional love is the key. He tried to tell us. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's going to get better. We're not through yet. God loves all of you, but some of you have never responded to his love. You've never responded. He loves you and wants to give you a better life. Now in verses 6 through 22, Martha gets angry at Jesus for not being there. Martha gets angry at Jesus for not being there. She said, if you had been there, my brother wouldn't have died, because he eventually died. I'm mad. I'm angry. Why is it we always blame God for tragedy? Well, we don't give him credit for the 99.9% of the time that everything's really great. Why do we do that? I want you to hear two things really closely. I don't have time to preach on them. But number one is, God is spirit. And number two is, life happens. You know who was responsible for this whole thing? The devil was responsible for this whole thing. He put a thought in this deranged, demented, awful, horrible person. He put a thought in his mind, and this guy carried it out. And you know what? Because of that, I'm going to cast every demon out of everybody I can find. I'm going to fight right back at what he did. I'm going to make his life miserable. He woke up a sleeping giant. I'm angry, but I'm going to direct my anger at the right person. The devil was behind this. God was not. I told you I was a blubbering baby, and I was crying for the Schweitzers. I was crying for the Mudankis. I was crying for our security guard in Vegas that got 4 bullets in the chest. And I couldn't stop crying. And I'm telling you as I stand here, I said, God, you got to help me get it together. Why am I crying like this? And God spoke to me and said, I'm crying through you. You're feeling my pain. It's your Holy Spirit in you that's causing you to cry. Because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And if he wasn't grieved, I probably wouldn't be. I'm just asking, Christy and Scott, that God gives me strength because I don't want to break down during a service. Because I know where Christy's at. See, Jesus, it's interesting because when he got there, you know the first thing he did? He wept. Jesus wept. I never saw this before this morning. He wept. Well, I knew why he was weeping because he knew where Lazarus was at, but he was weeping for Mary and Martha. He loved them, and why he was weeping was because they didn't understand. He knew they couldn't understand. And I saw something today I've never seen before. I think he was weeping because he knew where Lazarus was at, and he knew Lazarus was going to be really ticked off when he came back. And he was weeping, going, I got to bring Lazarus back, and this is not going to be easy. We don't know how mad Lazarus was when he got back. My buddy was pretty angry. They asked me on a television station, said, what do you think about Bailey right now? And I said, you know what? Bailey, if we brought her back, she'd be pretty ticked. Pretty doggone ticked at us. This is not make-believe stuff. This is not fables. This is reality, because Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now listen to me. So Martha, she gets angry. Have you ever been blamed for something you didn't do? How many's been blamed for something you didn't do? Why does God get blamed for something he didn't do? Then Jesus directed their attention toward heaven. John 11:23-26. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. She had bad doctrine here and he corrected it. She said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said, no. He said, I am the resurrection of life, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this? I told Chrissy yesterday that it's like, Bailey has went to Fantasy Island Camp God. And it's a real place. And she's there, but there's no phone reception. She can't call us. We just have to look in the Word and see where she's at and know that it's a fabulous, fabulous place. Revelation 21:4. When Bailey got into heaven, God wiped the tears from her eyes. The old crusty tears, he wiped them away. And he said, there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. I'm going to leave you with 3 observations, a video, and a song. But real quickly, 3 observations. We've had shorter service. We'll go a little longer today, but just 10 minutes longer. But 3 observations. The first is, we won't let evil win. We'll fight back. I got a crusade going against the devil right now, and it's major big time, man. Let me tell you something. God said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. When I was diagnosed with leukemia, and I was given just a short time to live, the doctor said, avoid crowds. Do not get in crowds. So you know what me and Josh did? We went to the Rose Bowl. We went to the Rose Bowl game. And Josh said, Dad, you're probably not supposed to go, are you? I said, no, I'm not, but let's do it, son. Let's do it. If we let fear reign, we let the devil win. We're not going to let him win. I can't wait for the next concert. I think I'll go. I'm not going to let him win. We're not going to let him win. Number two, give your life to God. Give your life to God. Scott and Chrissy, my heart goes out to those people that never even give God a second thought. How do they go through this? We know. And number three, this one I'm going to end with, get strong in the Lord now. You know what? We might not have seen anything yet. The Bible says this. Look, we're in the last days. Look at your neighbor and say, we're in the last days. We're living the last days. Look at Luke 21, 25, 26. It says, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations. Kim Jong-un has threatened to drop a hydrogen bomb in the Pacific Ocean. This guy's crazy. We got Iran, we got Iraq, we got Russia, and in perplexity at the roaring of the sea, we got hurricanes and we got tornadoes and the waves. Men's hearts will be fainting from the fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. We've gone past a point of no return. We are, I don't care if you like it or not, we're in the last days. And it says things will get worse, the hurricanes, the tornadoes. Come on, man, open up your eyes. You know this is not normal, what's going on. You know this is not normal. And you know what? Look at Jeremiah 12:5. Jeremiah was getting down on all this stuff. He was getting depressed, getting discouraged. And God said, if racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against horses? If you stumble and fall in the open ground, what will you do in the thickets near the Jordan? Get strong now. I love you guys, and God even loves you more. I love you, but listen to me. I'm going to get on you right now. 10 times a week, my baby's left me. Oh, Pastor Ron, my wife's left me. My husband's left me. They're with another gal, another guy, and he's got another woman pregnant, and she's living out there. And oh, Ron, I beg you, get her back. I'm going to kill myself if she doesn't come back. I got two words, grow up. Put your big boy pants on. Goodness gracious sakes alive. I'm going to die. I will die if I can't have her. Hey, there's other good women out there, man. There's other good men out there. Grow up. Oh, you know, Pastor Ron, I lost my job and I'm just worth nothing anymore. And I'm just going to go out there and die. Oh, come on. There's other jobs. You fight for your marriages, but if they're persistent, they want to go out and do, then let them go. They're not worth it. They're going to sleep with other people, get them pregnant. They're not worth it. The Bible even says, let them go. Some of you, bless your hearts. You can't deal with anything. When the big problems come, you're in trouble because you can't deal with the little things. Take a look at this video. We're going to come back to a song. We got a great ending, but take a look at this video.
So I want to read something to you. I want to help somebody. Now I'm going to get somebody the light tonight. I'm going to give you a light tonight. And you may not need it right this second, but at some point in your life, you're going to need it. Greatness is remembering in the dark what God told you in the light. I just want to help somebody out. Whatever the Creator tells you in the dark, listen to me. Whatever He tells you, remember, greatness is remembering in the dark what the Creator told you in the light. I tell the little homies, do me a favor. You got 3 minutes, little homie, to give me that little crying story. You got 3 minutes. Tell me when you're ready and go. You will not take 10 minutes of my time whining and crying about it. You give me 3 minutes and give me your story, and you got 10, 15 minutes to give me a solution. Don't nobody want to hear that, because after the end of it, my wife left me, and what you going to do about it? Is she gone for good, or are you going to get her? No, bro, I'm talking from experience, bro. My sophomore year in college, doing my thing, traveling the road, not listening to my wife. She packed up and came back to the D. I said, I'm through. I said, all right, you might be, but not without me coming down there. You feel me? You can tell me on the phone you through with me. I'm cool with that. You can write me a letter, because it wasn't no text back then. You can write me a letter and tell me. No, hear what I'm saying. You can tell me on the phone you're through with me. I invested too much. I invested too much to quit. I made too many sacrifices to give up. No, listen to me. That's why it's so easy for you to quit, because you ain't paid nothing for it. I paid too much. I stood before your mama and your dad and said, till death do us part. If you leave, you will not leave me over the phone or through a letter. You will look me in my face and tell me you gone. After I bring you the roses. Listen to me, you gotta hear what I'm saying. I ain't talking like somebody who ain't never been through nothing. I'm telling you she got up and left. I'm telling you she drove all the way back to Detroit from Alabama by herself and was through. I got on the road. So I will greet this day with love in my heart, all positive. When I see her, I don't care what she say. She will know in my heart, I'm sorry and I want you back. That was 26 years ago. So if you go outside and you see it's like dark, 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 and you see the stars out there, listen to me. You can only see the stars in the what? That's the only time you can see the stars. You can't see the stars when the sun is out. You can only see the stars when it's dark. So y'all gotta start doing me a favor. It's some crazy stuff going on right now. But what I will not do is allow that craziness to penetrate me.
A weekend of street battles and stark displays of racism.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me, thou art my rod and my staff, thy comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. When I get in my funk, over and over, all the days of my life, over and over and over again, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, I got my stuff. So when life happens, I don't just sit there and cry. I buck back. When I see stupid stuff on the news, see, I saw what happened in Vegas. That's why I woke up the next day and I went to the school system with my church and my crew, and we went in there and inspired kids.
Let's go. Love you and believe in God.
Yep, you took 50 lives. Now we about to go inspire 50 lives. And we ain't gonna talk. I ain't gotta do a lot of talking. People call, Eric, what do you think? It don't matter what I think. I'm past talking. They don't eat from you talking. They don't eat from news. They don't eat from commentary and critique. Where I come from, they eat when somebody go help them eat. I ain't just talking to talk. We will be at the school and we will videotape it while we're there. And we'll put it up on YouTube so other teachers who don't know how to train our babies and bring the best out of our babies and engage and motivate our babies, I will show them what it looks like. So you took 50 and injured 400. We coming for you. That hate is not greater than love. Hate has never been greater than love. Hate has never conquered. Love conquers all. Love is the strongest force ever. And so I will greet this day with love in my heart. I will greet this day with love in my heart, and I will overcome evil.
I wondered how to end this service. The Holy Spirit has spoken. It's up to us now. If you know anybody's been hurt, get them and bring them back to this evening service. I thought the best way to end this service was to make a declaration through song. I will not be a slave to fear anymore. Let's stand, and I want you to, those of you that believe in raising your hands, raise your hands. The ones that don't, you don't have to. And let's declare something in this song this morning.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661 325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.